You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
We're the host of Fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation's always 100.
Welcome to your favorite podcast. It is Love is Black. I remain Harvey.
And I guess I'm still Carice.
Unless you changed your name, did you?
We don't know. I'm mysterious. Okay,
you're mysterious. Still yeah, mysterious. Whatever. Hashtag wish I was mysterious. It's all good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Shirts.
You should really like put that in a bio or something, right. Like on your social media.
Uh-huh. Wish I was mysterious?
Yes.
Okay, that's yes. It. Sold. Our fun season continues. And this season has been more adult, I think.
Very adult.
We've had some more, you know, grown folk conversation.
Yes. I mean, we're grown. We should. If we weren't having grown folk conversation, it'd be a problem.
Yeah, I guess. But we really moved up into the grown folks.
We have elevated.
See, that's why I married you. You know, that college education, them big words. Elevate. Go ahead, girl. And she cute, too. All right. All right. So I've been searching for guests, for people to talk to. And obviously, since we've been doing grown folk discussion, this week we're going to discuss sex in the culture. And as a young man growing up, I'm older than both of you, 1974, there wasn't a lot of sisters, you know.
You weren't looking for anybody in 1974.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You won't have to listen to the intro, man. You know, can't be cutting me off.
You're really talking about the 80s.
Okay, whatever. 90s. But no.
You're not talking about the 70s.
Damn, I had a flow and you ruined it. Got your spike shoes and stomped on them. Thanks.
My bad.
Yeah, back to that. 50s, 60s, 70s. There wasn't a lot of sisters out there as sex symbols, you know, because we're Black. Film didn't really respect us. But then as we got, you know, as time progressed, there's Dorothy Dandridge, there's Eartha Kitt. There's Jane Kennedy, and then of course, Pam Grier. But I've always wondered why we never really, sex has always been taboo in the culture. We don't talk about sex. We don't really see it. Why is it such a hard thing to talk about? So I think we found somebody who we can talk about this with. I welcome, I'm gonna say her name wrong because I feel like I forgot it already.
Oh my gosh, Miana.
Miana, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Sorry, that was a long intro. It was supposed to be shorter, but somebody got all up in there. We won't say what her name is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bye. Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Well, let me give you a proper introduction. That was great introduction, Boo. But Miana Sway... Suave is the owner of Raw and Explicit and a certified sex educator whose passion has been installed since a child. Miana started Raw and Explicit to help promote sex education in urban communities and to help reduce the stigma on the conversation of sex and sexuality.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're getting to talk about this.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
that's cool. That's good.
Well, my first question leads me into like, what really brought you down the path of becoming a sex educator?
I get this question so much. Oh my god, I damn near should just know what to say because I just get it so much. The thing that got me into this field is my mom. When I was about 4. You know, kids are curious. And of course I asked about the birds and the bees. And she told me about the penis and the vagina and sperm and how babies were made. So I was like, oh, okay. but from that conversation, it really just gave my curiosity. And like the older I got, the more I would think about like STIs and HIV, I got more into that. And then, you know, growing up experiencing things and everything else, it was just more so like, I don't know, it was just like a rush for me or something when I would hear about STIs or I hear about something with sex. So it just really brought my attention. So really it just been installed from there. So since I was 4 and from experiences to readings to just the interest is just installed in me.
Wow. Age 4, that seems like so young. I don't even know that I would answer the question. I would be like,
the store.
Hey, what's over there? Is that a block? Legos? Nice. Let's go play with those Legos.
You know, like when I asked my mama like about the situation, she was like, I didn't know what to say. I was 24 years old. I didn't know, but I felt like the best thing for me to tell you was the truth because I didn't want nothing happening to you and you ain't know what was going on. Okay. So from there, it was just like, okay, cool. So I respect it. And I do this, like tell my daughter certain things she should know. And that's all thanks to my mom.
That's that actually makes a significant amount of sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I love that. Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting because you're talking about I think one of the things you kind of mentioned is the taboo-ism, I don't know if that's a word, of discussing sex within the culture. But you literally, as a child, you just got that conversation. So I can understand why you're like, we can do this.
Yeah.
You grew up with it. So, right. Excellent. Growing up, since sex or sexuality was an interest for you, and obviously, were there any sex symbols? Was there anybody you saw that caught your eye while you were growing up?
You know, like, I'm going to be honest. Pam Grier is probably one of the most beautiful women in the world to me. So she, like, really, like, was, like, she's like an icon. Like, she is an icon. So, like, she's probably, like, a huge sex symbol that's, like, somebody from when I was young. And I was like, oh, my God, I admire her. Beyonce, of course. Let me think. That's really I can just think of right off the bat.
You picked two big-time names, so you're good. No, you're definitely good.
Yeah, so I'd say those two probably like the most ones that was like are like sex symbols to me.
Okay. So
even though it's plenty more because I feel like everybody got some kind of sex appeal.
Oh no, there's beautiful black people out everywhere. There. Oh yeah.
Listen.
Everywhere.
Yes, no doubt. So then kind of let's get in there. So tell us about your real interest and what you did with it, with, you know, STIs and all this kind of discussion within the culture. How did this manifest itself with you? What did you do with it?
So really it manifested itself because, again, it's something that's my passion. So I always, anything that I like, I always research or I look into it more to see, like, how I can learn more about it or what can I do to contribute towards it or what can I do to gain my experience with it. So with that, it was just, like, the lack of resources in my area when it came to certain things and the lack of, like, community organizations. Like, there are some, but they're not known, really. You got to damn near dig up Google or drive around the city to find something. So it was just kind of, like, we need something where people can actually have these conversations. Like, we need to actually work on improving these numbers of these infections. We have to work on improving these just resources and information that's needed within our community for our kids. There's no reason in hell that ages 15 through 24 is still the leading age groups of people who are infected with STIs or even, you know, still getting infected with HIV. Like, why is this still going on? Like, and I say still in a sense because it's like, it's been around, it was an epidemic, it was campaigns, it's like all over the place. And it's like, what's the problem? It's because we don't have the lack of education. We have the lack of education and resources and like clinics and people have this like fear of talking to their doctors and being honest with their doctors because they may feel like they're going to be discriminated for because of their sexual history. And that shit needs to stop. So for me, that was my reason for starting Raw and Explicit because I felt like we need to have some kind of education. We need to have people that's going to be honest. We need to have people that, you know, is educated in this field and can really talk to you and give you that shit that you need to hear. So excuse my French, but I mean, I'm just saying.
It's cool.
But really just give it to you how you need to hear it because most people are not going to relate to you if you just talk like, yeah, so no, they want to hear you talk to them like you're their peer. So for someone to relate to you in a sense of still educating you and possibly making an impact, that's what made me come up with Raw and Explicit.
Okay.
I like that. And I'm sure
like I was just talking so much.
Lord. No, that's the point. Yes, we want to hear from you. You're the expert. But I feel like, yes, the STI is definitely important. You had mentioned something super important earlier on with, you know, childhood, like you never want something to happen to a child and they just don't understand it, don't understand what's going on. So it is important to have these conversations. I feel like there's also got to be an aspect of it that's very important for women as well and their own misconceptions about it, because I feel like there are a lot of stigmas, I guess, around women who are more sexually open. I don't know how to say it without saying
you basically said it. It's and that's really in the last 20, 30 something years, too. Sexual enjoying of sex was so taboo.
Yeah.
And such a point where that's why the whole all the movie women in movies I was talking about, they wouldn't even show attractive Black women out there. So talking about it, seeing it was completely weird. So you're right. Yeah. So
yeah, being sexually liberated is still stigmatized, especially like within our own community. Like we've known as hoes if you just express yourself on what you like or, you know, certain things when it comes to freaky conversations, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we're labeled, and it's like the labeling is not needed if I'm just here is having a conversation about something. Like no one, I feel like it's going to take a long time for people to accept women, especially when it comes to sexual liberation. It's still coming. People are understanding more because, you know, within sexuality, things are becoming more of a topic. So more conversation, so more enlightenment. But in a sense of being sexually liberated, that is something that's kind of, I feel is very important though, because being sexually liberated, you're also expressing yourself how you like to feel, how you like, what makes you feel good in the inside, what pleases you, what satisfies you. And it's all within an intimate setting, or it's just within just having conversations. Like conversations can really fuck you mentally. Like it's more than just physical sex when it comes to being sexually liberated, in my opinion. And expressing that can still be like, what? But I just feel like that needs to really not be a thing anymore, especially within our community. So.
Agreed.
Absolutely, agreed. Totally agreed. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
I've always thought that it always feels like a lot of this stems, at least in my opinion, and you know, I have fun opinions, but I feel like it really stems from religion, how we are perceived. How women in particular are perceived. Women are not supposed to, they don't say it, but I don't know if women are supposed to be enjoying sex. Mm. It feels like sex is supposed to be really for procreation and nothing else. So the idea that we can have Pam Grier out there looking so bad, just naked and comfortable and beating people up while she's doing it, all that liberation, all that freedom is kind of the antithesis of what religion is, demure woman, just listening, barefoot and pregnant, that type of thing. So I think the whole liberation thing, we're like, forget that. Nah, we're not doing that anymore. I feel like that's what it is. What do you think of that?
Religion, I feel that religion does have a huge influence when it comes to the conversation of sex or sexuality or anything pertaining to it when it comes to the Black community. That's a lot of people, like we can relate to people that saying they went to church every Sunday, or even if you didn't go, you knew somebody that went. Or one of the kids that you wanted to play with all the time, they couldn't because they was at choir practice or something all the time. We know somebody that had that kind of experience. So I feel as though within a Black community, yes, religion plays a part in it when it comes to the comfort of the conversations when it comes to sex, because it is something that's supposed to be sacred or done, you know, when you're married and, you know, things in that nature. However, people ignore the fact that it's something that we feel naturally. It's not nothing that's programmed within us. It's not nothing in which doesn't happen. Like this is natural for people to be sexually aroused, to have these sexual hormones, to have these thoughts. Like it's natural, it's normal. And I feel as though a lot of people, when it comes to the religious standpoint of things, they may have taught it so taught it in a sense to like their youth or like their kids or, you know, their family members as just, it's just the most foulest thing to do, like, you know, holy water, whatever people do in the sense of that. And it's just like, it kind of puts you in a place where you just feel uncomfortable. And it shouldn't be an uncomfortable experience. But I do feel like it is rooted within us, within Black people, to have this kind of thought when it comes to sex because of religion. I do feel like that is part of the reason. I'm not going to say the full reason, but I do feel like it is part.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's multiple roles.
But it's really only, at least to me, it's really, in terms of religion, I don't feel like men, Black men, or men in general were held back from feeling however. We could ogle men, ogle women, or whomever. It was women.
You don't have any self-control. That's right, women need to dress modern.
Right, like. Exactly. So there's a lot going on. We weren't holding men back. No, do whatever, but women. It's so interesting when you think of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's because of us. That's a societal thing. It's really how society made it for us, for women to cover up, or if we decide to have our cleavage out or whatever, we're asking for it, or we're asking for attention. It's like, no, I'm embracing myself. This is a part of me. Sorry if I'm not trying to be sexualized or anything, but you know, this is a part of me. This is who I am. So I feel as though that should never be the case when it comes to like what you just said, like men, they can damn near do whatever they want to do. Women have to be like, oh no, go ahead. Like, no, like we are naturally like nourishing. We are can be also naturally submissive when it comes to like with the man. So we do try to reserve ourselves, or we do try to do things to get someone's attention in a sense, but it shouldn't be like, nobody should be labeled for doing that though. You know, it should be okay for someone to be comfortable with who they are without being sexualized. And again, I feel like that just stems from society and religion. Like you said, like it's way more to it for why we have these like stigmatizing issues, I should say, when it comes to sexuality, the Black community, women, in general. It's just something that people need to be educated on to not necessarily be more comfortable with, but just not be so ignorant towards it.
So what are some of the steps or some of the things that can be done, or I guess steps that can be taken to get that information? How can someone who's looking to learn more,
learn more in the sense of just being sexually liberated, or more so in the sense
sexually
of just
educated?
Educated.
Therefore, you know, that might help them be a little more liberated. But I think the education part, it comes first, right? Just learning more about sexuality and just in general.
Right. I feel as though with that one, it's more so experience. You know, I feel like talking to people who've experienced these kind of issues or experienced any kind of issues or any kind of concern, that's the best way to really get a relatable feel of, okay, this is where this is coming from. This is what's going on. In a sense of that, like, I feel as though experience is the number one teacher, really. So being able to talk to someone that has experience being sexualized, or someone who has been a prostitute or anything like that, just talking to them and just really just getting an idea of them. Because that way too, you get to see who that person is. You're not judging them off of who they are or what they've done. You're judging them off of them. So that also helps too, to help destigmatize the conversations too, because now it's like, okay, you're looking at me as a person. You're not looking at me as the title of what you thought I was, because you ain't have a conversation with me, just what you heard.
I've seen a lot since we follow you on the gram, and I've seen your posts and such. And I think one thing you focus on is women being vocal about what they want, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, in sexual activity and with whoever their partner is.
Communication and comprehension, yes.
So talk. So yeah, okay. I like that. So talk about that.
Break that down.
Yeah, open that up. Let's hear.
It's like, you know, when people talk about relationships, they're like, communication is key. talking is key. Yes, it is. But do you understand what the fuck was just said? Do you understand what they were telling you about? Like, I heard you, but do you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's something that I feel that has to be more, like, more of the issue. Like, it's communication and comprehension. Because when you're communicating how you feel, what you like, what you don't like, that's going to help you improve your sexual life with your partner or with whoever in which you're engaging with. Because now you know, okay, this person, they like when I do this, they like when I do that, they don't like when I do this. Okay, cool. And you're open to even knowing if they're willing to experiment on your likings, of your curiosities. So it's best to really have those conversations. And then if you don't understand, like, what's that? Ask about it. Ask to see a video. Ask to see a picture. Ask to see something that helps explain it more to you. So that it's like a clear understanding. Now you can give a firm, yeah, okay, or no. So you can go with there with what you want. So I feel as though communication and comprehension is the best thing for both, for men, for women, for trans, for non-binary, anyone. That's what it is. We have to communicate and say what we want and how we feel and make sure they understand it. If they don't understand it, what the fuck do we have this conversation for? So
that makes a whole lot of sense, because it's difficult for people to read each other's minds. And for some reason, people expect others to be able mm-hmm. to read their minds. And that's just, you know.
It's not.
Yeah. And we're all built differently, which is a very important thing too. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to communicate your wants, because something that might've worked with a different partner mm-hmm. doesn't work.
Ain't gonna work with you. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, a lot of men, they don't even know, like, penetration doesn't always make women come. Like, it's a low percent chance that your partner, if they're a woman or have a vagina, they are like, they may not have an orgasm like with that penetration. They may need the stimulation with the clitoris. They may need some toys. They may need some vibrators. They may need some massages, some hands, some different kind of touching going on. And it's just like, you have to know this, because if it's just you, that's very selfish. Like, that's very selfish. So I feel like you and your partner, y'all both need to be able to get what y'all want, because y'all here for one thing. Y'all know what it is. So it's it should be understood. Like, with men, it's not always about penetration either. Some men, they may come off of just having oral sex more so than they do with, you know, penetrating a vagina or an anus. Like, you need to know these kind of things when it comes to your partner, because that's just not bringing a spark in the relationship no more. It just becomes dull after a while. It really got to continue the comprehension and communication within relationships, or sexually intimate, whatever. Sorry if I got to go in again.
Perfect. You're doing great. This is awesome. I feel like I'm learning a lot.
Oh, no, definitely. Well, this is, it's good, because it's a like we said, it's a conversation that we need to have. It's something we need to talk about. So
yeah, and honestly, like, I go, like, when it comes to, like, my raw and explicit events and, like, seminars and things like that, like, I do get more informal or give more statistics and stats about things. But when it just comes to conversation, I feel like it just let it flow better. It flows out better. Whatever comes to mind is going to come out to mind. Whatever you feel at that time, that's was, you know, what you felt to say at that moment. And with just having these kind of conversations, it can bring you more curiosity of, okay, so why did she say that? What's the percentage? How many women actually do come off of this? So how, you know, it really just starts to gain more interest, I should say, with just an open conversation. So
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that was a really good follow-up question, though. I didn't think about that. So how many women, what is the percentage as far as women who are able to orgasm through penetration?
Last study that I saw, it was like in the 20 percentile, like 20%. And it's probably lower than that. Well, actually a little higher than that. I'm sorry. Actually probably higher than that. I want to say last month, no, it was 24%.
Do you happen to know any of the statistics about the amount of women that are able to achieve multiple orgasms?
there aren't really any, don't quote me on that estimate of percentage. Please don't quote me.
Okay.
I just say that first. I just think about it, like, wait a minute, don't quote me, but it is a low percentage. I'm not going, I can't sit here and say the exact one, but it is a low percentage. Now you said
multiple orgasms.
Multiple orgasms. There are not many researches when it comes to orgasm with women. So again, that's part of why, again, I started Raw and Explicit, because a lot of conversations that we don't know mostly about, other people have that experience that they can talk about. So when it comes to multiple orgasms, that's really a personal that's a personal thing that you should like really see about it, because some people, they'll tell you like, I probably only want some women probably more than that because they got more stamina, like we all have that, but in a sense it's like, you know, it's possible, but is it possible for you? Like, the research is a study that we still need to find out.
It says a lot that even stuff like that, we have studies on everything. We study everything. And it's surprising that a study on that, and how many women can have multiple orgasms, all kinds of studies about that don't get done, because in a way it's still kind of taboo. We kind of still don't want to talk about it. And
I mean, society is not really 100% ready to talk about the satisfaction of women when it comes sexually. It's still focused on those with penises. Like, you still have conversations of, you see Viagra all the time on TV. You hear about these enhancement pills all the time for, you know, for men. And it's just like, what about me? What about the woman with menopause? What about the woman that's experiencing dryness? What about this? Like, it's not even a question to even think about. It's more so, what about the penis? Let's figure out what the penis. And it's just like, oh, what about the pussy?
Oh, that's a hashtag.
That's a hashtag.
That's a hashtag. What about the pussy?
I like it. Okay. That's going to have to be one of the tags. Of
yes.
This
yes. That's why this is an episode for the grown and sexy.
Grown and sexy.
Grown and sexy. Hashtag. Hashtags left and right. We coming through right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you again for having me on your show, or just being interested in talking to me about what I do with Raw and Explicit, and just having that interest. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. If I seem nervous, I am a little nervous. Like, but yeah, with this conversation, is helping me to be able to still just embrace who I am.
You are a microcosm for society.
Yeah.
You getting more comfortable just talking about this is what we should all aim to do. We should all want to be able to just go out into the street and just start talking about orgasms with anybody we see on the corner.
Wow. I think about all that.
I'm saying.
That's a good
See Billy on the corner, bro.
I don't need to talk to Billy about anything.
No, you don't need to talk about it. I was talking about me. I'm not ready for all that sexual exploration. I'm sorry. I'm old. But I'll play it. But it's a discussion worthy of this of the culture of the community, yeah. And not only for the enjoyment of it, but that, you know, sexual health too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's good that you cover sexual health and enjoyment, because it's all part of a larger discussion.
Yeah, like in my events for Raw and Explicit, how I normally present itself, we normally have like a setting, like an intimate setting for those to come, and then we have like a panel. The panel will consist of those who are in different backgrounds, whether it's sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, age. Like, we have a range of who we have on the panel to talk about those certain experiences. And we also have people who may have, we may have someone who is into fetishes that will talk to the audience and things too, just so we can have that open conversation about sex and sexuality. And people come in and they be like, I didn't think about that. People doing that, what? Oh my goodness, I never knew that. I always thought I was weird for liking that, but like, it's always something. But it's like, yeah, if you have this conversation rather than just stigmatizing it, or don't want to talk about it, or feel like it's just not a need, it's going to continue to be a conversation that's not talked about, that's still impacting us. So that's how we do the segments with Raw and Explicit too, because like I said, experience is the number one teacher. And having those people to talk to, having those people you can relate to, and that's comfortable to open up, why not go ahead and just ask all the questions and get and just be informed. Leave feeling like you learned something. Share it to somebody else because it's needed within our communities. So.
Yes. I like that there's variety on there. And I like that there's not a stigma with it, that it's like a judgment-free zone, because that's mm-hmm. got to be incredibly important. First, for the people on the panel who are even sharing, but, mm-hmm. you know, just overall, because once you're in that environment and you're listening to these things and you feel that there is no judgment, then you're like, oh, okay. So now you can really like absorb it and process the things that you feel are exclusive to you, but aren't necessarily
exactly
things that everybody else is doing or thinking or saying. And
exactly. And that is something that we all know someone who's in the LGBT community. We all know someone who's married, who's single, who's say they've been a player or they had they, you know, they fun or whatever, or someone who's still a virgin, someone who is like sucking toes. We all know somebody that's into something, but yeah. Have you actually talked about it with this, like to figure it out and just be like, oh, rather than judging them about it. Like even on my panel, I don't let anyone know their background until we actually get into the discussion, because we all talking. So now that we don't have this conversation, we open, okay, this is such and such and they are this and that and that, like, you know, this is what it is now. So let's talk. Like, let's get it out the way. So, and that's like, that's where the comfort comes in. Cause it's like, oh, okay. And that's what we need. We don't need no one that's just pointing a finger at us or making us feel like we've done something wrong or just the thoughts in which we're thinking is wrong. We don't need that all the time. That's not helping our numbers of infections to decrease. It's not, just because you're promoting abstinence doesn't mean that these teens are going to practice it. Like, we got to have these conversations to let them know these feelings is okay. These thoughts is okay. You got to be able to protect yourself though, but you know, you got to know what's going on too, to answer out of what you want to do in the sense of engaging into sex. So that's, again, you can see my thought process is how I'm just put everything together with Raw and Explicit to be how it is.
What would you say to a critic who says that talking about it more might, especially with younger, like teens, whatever, might just be encouraging them as opposed to discouraging them? So the argument versus talking about abstinence and or not having the sex talk versus talking about it openly.
I would ask them, are they comfortable with talking about sex openly? I would ask them if they have children, do you talk to them about it? Do they know the proper names of their private parts? I would ask them more details in a sense of their comfort with it, because just because you're not comfortable with the conversation doesn't mean that your kids may not be comfortable or they may be comfortable. You don't know. Just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean they're uncomfortable. Just because you don't want to talk about it doesn't mean that they don't want to know. So, and that's what I would say on that sense. You can't make decisions for your kids. Yo, like you can, but when they get to that age, when it comes to these urges, when it comes to, they're going to be sneaking out, they're going to do whatever they can to satisfy this desire that they're having. So you need to have these conversations. Shit happens in schools all the time. Shit happens in the streets all the time. Mm-hmm. You need to know. These conversations need to be done all the time. A kid can't go in the courtroom and they were touched and say they pooed a mama was touched or they pee-pee was touched. That's not going to hold up in court. My vagina was touched. That has to be said. My penis was touched. That has to be said. And I just feel like, to me, it's kind of selfish for someone to feel as though these conversations are needed when it comes to the youth. Because if it's not important, why are they getting STIs? Why ages 15 to 24 is the most impacted with infections. The number one age group. Why? Why are kids under 13 even testing positive for STIs? Why? Curiosity. What they seeing in the media, the access to it, but you don't want to talk to your kids? Cool.
That's the spot. You hit it. That's it right there. Yeah, we educate young, we grow up knowledgeable, and you know, we limit the mistakes that we make. Mm-hmm.
So you take them to school, they out in public. Mm-hmm. It's other people around with different experiences, with different thoughts. Everybody don't think like you. Shit can happen in a quick of the moment. And then what? That's just life in general. Mm-hmm. The necessities in life need to be fucking essential to education for us. And it's not. Is this a program? And it's like, we need to be educated more on the necessities of life, the essentials of life. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for a goddamn egg and a sperm cell, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Y'all wouldn't be talking to me right now. Like, if it wasn't for cum, we wouldn't exist. So that needs to be talked about. Why can't we talk about the root of why I'm here?
Like, I feel you. I think you're speaking to the converted. It's we've got four kids and it's about to send them into the world. We can't send them out there without them knowing what's going on.
Exactly.
They need to understand. Yeah.
And at least informed properly. Because I think I was in probably third grade when I first heard, or some kid had brought like a condom that they stole out of their father's bedroom or whatever. I don't know. And that was the first time that I had heard about like a condom. And I don't remember how they described it to me, but it wasn't accurate.
Clearly.
It was like a very wrong representation of what a condom was, like a balloon or something. They don't teach each other, and it's going to be wrong.
Yes. And that's most of the time. It's just, you can learn from your peers. Yeah. Because again, but do they have that experience to actually teach me about this? You telling me this, but you done it before? No. How the hell you know? So it's like, come on now. So yeah, we need to have these discussions with these kids. We just do. Like, we was in the third grade. Y'all should have known that was a condom.
No. Yes, I grew up different.
You did. You clearly did. Yes.
He looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. Like third grade.
A condom. How old? Third grade is what? Was that 8, 9? What school did you go to?
Wow.
Oh my.
Let's not talk about it.
Our kids aren't going there. I'll tell you that much. So as we kind of wind down here, if you could kind of create a program where you'd get a room full of kids and you could just kind of create a program to educate them, how would you go about it? What would you do?
I would talk to them. What they want. What they want to hear. What they want to talk about. What's your experiences? What are you scared of? Are you not scared of this? Do you know? What do you know? Just ask all those questions. Because I'm not gonna make a program off of what I think you wanna know. I wanna know what you wanna know.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. And honestly, like with the programs that I'm doing for young adults and teenagers, that's what I'm doing. That's how I do it when I come with the programs for them. Even when I talk to kids now, like I even ask them, like, what y'all know about STIs? Oh, okay. What y'all want to know? If I go into this presentation, what y'all want to know? Because I can just go ahead and talk about it all day, but what do y'all want to know? And then it's like, nobody want to say nothing. Then I'm going into it. And I'm like, okay, I got a question. I was like, okay, cool. Now you get it. But I feel like, you know, that's a cool way to do it, like how I normally do it, if nobody has any questions. But everybody has a question or curiosity or thought, something that ran across their mind. That's why you're here.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So with my programs that I do is, you know, what are you here for? What made you want to come here? My mama made me. Why? We going in debt. Why? You fucking? Then it's like, they're like, what? But it's like, I just heard you say that to your homeboy around the corner.
Right? Yes.
I walked in this class session. I just heard you saying that. Like, it's okay. So then once you do that, it'd be like, oh, all right, cool. So I love what I do.
I love what you do too. It's incredibly needed, wonderfully supported by us, and I'm sure our listeners. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I am so grateful that we had you.
Yeah, I already said it in the middle of it. Thank you again. Like, I appreciate it. I was like, oh, they want me on the podcast? Okay.
Of course, yes, and you've got great content. Yes, no, you were perfect. You were absolutely perfect. So if our listeners wanted to follow you on social media, how could they follow you? How could they keep up with Raw and Explicit?
Yes, my Instagram, Raw and Explicit. All one word, Raw and Explicit. We also have a Facebook page, which is also Raw and Explicit. And our website, www.rawandexplicit. And that, we're revamping the site, and it should be up by January 2022.
Right.
Fantastic. And it's going to be loaded, I'm sure, with a bunch of resources and everything to help people get from step A of ignorance, I guess, to step B of knowledge.
Yes. Oh, also, I do have a TikTok that is Raw and Explicit. That's where I think it was their Instagram that you guys saw my videos.
I think it was TikTok that I found.
Yeah, I think it was TikTok.
Then on in, I went to Instagram and saw more. So
the 4 tips on giving head. Yep, that was the kind. That was the one.
That's what caught my eye.
Right there. Yay. I remember now. I came. It was like, okay, that's what it was.
Of course, it all makes sense.
Oh, it does now, doesn't it? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Subject matter is so important. It's so important to talk about it. And it's so comfortable. We're comfortable talking about it with you, which I think would make it easier for anybody. Yeah. The discussion can be a little uncomfortable, but we're just vibing. We're just talking. And I think that's the best way.
That's the best way. It's the best way to learn. It's the best way for damn near anything, because it's like, I'm comfortable. I'm cool. I'm content. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm ready to listen. So, all those kind of things, like, oh, cool, all right, yeah. So,
love it. I love
this kind of setting. This is the best way to have these conversations, because you feel it's not judging. I'm not being judged. Oh, it is what it is. Oh, I said this. Oh, I said that out loud. Yes, you did. It's okay.
I love it. Well, Harvey, I think we have definitely come to the conclusion that love is explicit.
Love is explicit.
Yeah, love is many things.
But this good love is Black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.